the World Endurance Championship on RadioLeMans.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to another one of our preview programmes for the World Endurance Championship. We decided to split everything up into classes this year, so let's crack on with the LMP2 category. Now, in years gone by, we've kind of looked at this is where the privateers would be. If you've heard our P1 program, then you'll know that there's plenty of privateers in there as well. But the P2s are no less interesting. Joining me to discuss the prospects for the 2012 World Endurance Championship, FIA World Endurance Championship, is DailySportsCar.com editor Graham Goodwin. And let's kick off straight away with Jordan Tresson, Frank Mayer, and Olivier Lombard in the Orica 03 Nissan, Signatec running the number 23 car. We do have a number of different engine and chassis combinations here. So once again, Graham, variety being the spice of Signatec. Well, they know which way is up. They had a pretty good season last year.
Yeah, RMC, they took me that what was not then a very well populated LMP2 class. They took the RMC title last year. They come back again with Nissan backing this year. They're very much the kind of favoured customer in WEC, with technical backup from Nissan there. And that driver lineup, John, it's interesting. It's, you know, that there are names there that people that perhaps aren't as familiar with sports car racing as you and I are wouldn't necessarily recognise. But what I think you need a reassurance of there, dear listener, is that they are three pretty convincing guys. Jordan, yes, Tresson continues that what's becoming now a heritage,
yes,
success for the amazing success of the Nissan GT Academy. He was the 2010 winner, young Frenchman. He's been doing some GT racing since he took that title, and he's taking now the step up that his predecessor Lucas Donés took last year. Lucas, of course, then went on to win the title in the then ILMC.
Yeah.
Can Jordan follow that rate of success? Well, that remains to be seen. Frank Mayer, he's been a key part of the Signature Plus team that evolved into Signatec. A very fast man indeed. Always got a smile on his face as Frank. A popular guy in the paddock, and very quick too. And you know Olivier Lombard, John, what can you say about him?
Well, I mean, exploded onto the scene relatively recently. Yes, he does. He has brought some finance to teams before, but he is an outstanding find. Particularly for the likes of Le Mans, where the French love to cheer a Frenchman. And that, let's not forget, is a broadly speaking French team with an Orica chassis, French run, or it's a Nissan engine. But there is something for the Tricolour to be rolled out for, because this lad, he's talented.
He is. We saw him come along, and he'd done a bit of Formula One racing and had done reasonably well there. But he came in to replace Gary Chalandon aboard the Greaves Motorsport car last year. We expected, a very young man. Let's make no bones about it, and probably even more baby-faced than he actually looks. Came with a bit of backing and a bit of glitz from his father's business interests, which is, amongst other things, owns the Moulin Rouge.
And he has raced at Le Mans himself, his father.
Absolutely, he's raced at Le Mans himself, and Olivier, frankly, was a revelation.
Yeah,
Tom Kidmer-Smith was the star driver there last year at Greaves Motorsport, but Olivier was not embarrassed in that company, and that is high praise indeed.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, there is only one other Orica 03 Nissan on the entry list for the WEC. That's not to say that there aren't more Nissan engines, which will there's two, because I'm forgetting ADR. I was going to jump down to Pecom next. There are other Nissan engine cars.
Nissan engine cars are available.
Yes, absolutely. The reason I want to jump to Pecom is because they were around in the ILMC last year. Luis Perez Compagne, former World Rally Championship driver, the man behind the Munchies brand. Pierre Caffer stays with him. And they've added the not inconsiderable talents, although perhaps not on Henri Pescarolo's Christmas card list, a former French Formula 3000 champion, Soyer Layari. He knows his way around a sports car. They are getting to grips with the Orica 03 with the Nissan engine in it. I saw them at Sebring, had a long chat with Luis Perez Compang, and I think they're quietly confident this year, although I'll have to say I may be saying that again about a few other people.
So yeah, Lajari, a new challenge for you, and well, what is the World Endurance Championship, World Championship? Someone with your experience, does that mean something? Are you excited by it?
Yeah, it means something to all the drivers and especially to me, because I'm very exciting for this new championship. There is a lot of media around. There is a lot of involvement around the championship, and I'm with a good team. I'm very exciting about this new challenge. It will be a new big challenge for me, and everything is different for me to this year, except the car.
Yes.
Just I know this car.
Of course you do, and you're the only one of the guys here in PCOM who do. You worked with Orica, with Team Orica Matmut last year, with this exact package. How good is it?
I work with not Orica, but I work with Signatec,
excuse me. Yes.
But it was on the same car.
Yes.
Same car.
My apologies.
Yeah, and but I know very well the car, and the car is really good. We won the championship last year. It's still the 2011 car, but I know that we have a new improvement with the 2012 spec, and. We think we have a very good chance to make well this year. The team is fantastic. The car is very good. I know very well the car, and I think we are a good package of driver too. So we have the good car in hand to play the game.
Very good. And some new challenges though, because the circuits, some places that maybe even you have not been before.
There is a. Two or three track, I don't know completely, so it will be. No, I'm very excited about that.
Do you look forward to that as a challenge? Do you, as we would say in English, do you relish the challenge? Are you excited by that?
I am very excited about the challenge. It will be okay. I won some World Cup, but never a World Championship, so I'm very excited about for sure.
Well, we wish you all the best. I'm sure you'll get on very well with Pierre and Luis Perez. They're two fantastic guys. Good luck for the season.
Thanks for that.
Pierre Caffer for PCOM Racing with the new Orica 03 with the Nissan engine and a world championship. You're a professional driver. Does it make any difference that you're in a world championship?
I mean, it's a great honour for me that I will be a part of the team this year in the world championship. And especially with this nice car, and we are quite satisfied right now. And we have our test schedule, which we did yesterday and today. And so far, we are quite happy with the car, and we are really looking forward to the season.
Does the World Championship, now that it is a World Championship, not just the ILMC, it has those two magic words, World Championship. Does that affect you? Does it make a difference to you? What does that mean to you?
Well, it means very much for me, because when I was a child, I was watching the Group C in the old good times. So, and now to be a new start of the World Championship is really great. And for myself, I hope we can fight for the LMP2 title. And we will do everything for this. And right now, as I said, we are looking forward to this. And especially I looking forward to go overseas to Sao Paulo and all the other tracks which I never have been before. So for me, it's great to be a part of it.
And a new challenge with the machinery as well, because you've moved over to the Orica 03 with the Nissan engine. It's going to be competitive. It's going to have to be, because it's a very competitive category within the World Championship.
Yes, I think we are the strongest category, and I think the last couple of years it was always like this, where we were driving. If it was the GT2, there was 15 cars there. Now it's LMP2. It's the right signal what they did with the cost cap car. And in our case, it's like that we have a strong package together. I mean, Sohail joined our team, and he's a really nice guy and a really fast driver, experienced driver. And Lewis improved a lot, and I think we are ready to go. And as I said before, now Sebring is one of my favorite racetracks, and I have very good LMP memories from the past here. And this year, I hope we can fight for the victory here. So, and as you said, I mean, in Le Mans, the 24-hour race with 18 LMP2, I mean, that's outstanding right now.
And at the end of the year, there's a chance that I might be walking up to you and say, Pierre Kaffer, world champion. How would that sound?
Oh, that would be great. That would be one of my dreams, which I have right now. And but first, we are looking forward for Sebring, because my history in Sebring is really great. And I hope we have some luck here. And if you imagine, we have 65 cars here for the race, and it's more than in Le Mans, and the track is so small, so it will be a really exciting race for all the spectators. And I think we will have a great show here.
Enjoy it and be safe.
Thanks.
Lewis, congratulations on pulling this whole deal together. We've seen you in sports car racing in GT and prototype for the last few years. What has made you make the decision to go to the World Championship? What is special about the World Championship?
I love always new challenges and having new races in different countries all over around the world. For me, it's a very good challenge, and that's why I decided to race in the WEC Championship and also the Le Mans Series Championship. So this year is going to be very busy.
Very busy indeed. The advantage of a World Championship is you do get to travel a lot. That can be a disadvantage as well. At this stage of the season, are you actually excited? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because this year we have a brand new car with a new chassis and new engine. Last year we have a Lola with a Judd engine. Now we have an Oreca with a Nissan engine. And the car, it's very nice to drive, very, very fast. So I'm looking forward for the first race that is going to be here in Sebring. So it's, I like very much also this track. So I'm hoping to get to the first race with everything okay.
Tell me about the decision to go to the Oreca 03 with the Nissan. Nissan, as an engine supplier, seem to have caught many people's eye. I think they've got 11 out of 18 of the P2 cars at Le Mans. Was that a simple choice to make as far as you could see, or did you have to do a lot of thinking?
No, it was rather simple, because last year we saw the engine performing very, very good, and was always on the top three cars. So this year we decided for that car, for that engine, it's performing like we expected, very, very fast and a lot of torque, so a very nice engine.
Dunlop tyres seems to be almost the default choice of the P2 field this year.
Yeah, it was that was a tough decision, because last year and the years before GT, I was always with Michelin tyres. And I didn't know the Dunlop tyres very well. I never raced with them. So, but they told me that they were very, very good tyres, very good support also. And in the few tests we made, they proved it. They're very nice tyres, last very much. And hopefully it's going to be a very good season for the tyres also.
If we just think finally back to the World Endurance Championship, the WEC, that means you could be a world champion at the end of the year. Is that an exciting thing for you as a driver and as a team?
Yeah, that is the goal. Obviously, it's just be world champion and go to Monte Carlo at the end of the year. That is our goal, and I think we have a very good package for that. A very good chassis, very good engine. The team are doing a very good job also. So I think we are in good shape for this year.
Are you surprised at how many P2 cars there are in the World Endurance Championship? Because there was a thought, and I have to say, I wasn't sure that we'd get so many P2 entries because of the way the championship was structured, because of all the travel. Are you surprised at the depth and the quality of the competition?
Yep, very much. I still don't know why, but it's amazing. Last year was a big question, how many prototype cars are going to be in the championship, and this year you have a lot of cars, so it's going to be... For us, it's interesting. For me, it's better. You have the competition, and with many cars, it's much better for me. But yeah, it's a big surprise.
It seems as though many people have done this year what you did a couple of years ago, stepping up from GT2, GTE, into the prototype category. Was that a big step for you and indeed for the team?
Yeah, it was a big step, but I love these racing cars, the prototype cars. For me, it's easier than the GT cars because I'm used to drive a Formula One car that have a lot of downforce. And with the GT car that has no downforce, to get to the limit is very, very difficult. So to get the time correct is hard. With this car, it does all everything okay. It brakes okay, the engine is nice, the downforce is incredible. So for me, it's easier this car than the GT car, and it was a easier step for me. But I like the P2 and P1 cars also.
So for 2012, maybe you'll win at Le Mans, and maybe we call you a world champion at the end of the season.
Hopefully. I wish that, so we'll see. We have everything in line to get that, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I think they've got good reason to be confident, John. I mean, they raced, of course, a very different package last year. They were the first adopters of the cost-capped formula. They brought a Lola chassis, a new Lola chassis with the Judd BMW engine to the track last year. The Orica Nissan package was stupendously quick last year, but not the most reliable. Yep. And that wasn't because of not because of the V8 Grunter at the back, but because actually they were suffering pretty consistent electronics and power steering problems. That, we believe, has been sorted. They're allowed to re-homologate for reliability. That's been sorted. If that's the case, that should be the package to beat. And certainly as far as Peacom are concerned, with that driver lineup, I think every reason to be confident. You know, they've picked the car that showed, I think, the best pace. They've added a bit of weight to the driver lineup with Sohei Ayari. Pierre Caffa, let's not forget, an ex-Audi factory LMP driver.
Absolutely.
Sohei Ayari, of course, bringing the experience of the Orica Nissan from Signatec last year, where he raced that car. So it's, I think, you know, with what you're looking at there, should really be a front runner.
The other Orica 03 Nissan, as you rightly point out, is the ADR Delta team, the number 25 car. Robbie Kerr, Tor Graves and John Martin. What can you tell us about ADR? That's not Alan Docking Racing, is it?
It most certainly is Alan Docking Racing. There's a team that's been around the houses and have been sniffing around. Another team that's been sniffing around looking for a sports car program. They've had a bit of a dalliance with a bit of GT racing in the past, but this is the first time we've seen them out here with a prototype program, and they've come in with a bang, of course, into a world championship. And I believe that what we've got there is it's a combination of funding being bought via John Martin and by Tor Graves to this. And none of those three guys are anything close to what you might describe as slow,
no.
I have to tell you. John Martin has done very well. I think he did Super League, am I right?
Yeah.
Did he do Super League?
He did.
And did, I think, pretty well in
as
Super League.
As did Robbie Kerr as well, of course.
Robbie Kerr, of course.
Kerr did he do A1 GP? Sorry,
A1 GP.
Yeah.
And has got, you know, himself, you know, some pretty good form in sports car racing in recent years, particularly with Robbie at the wheel of various SciTech efforts in the past. Tor Graves, perhaps not as familiar a name as the other two to regular kind of motorsport fans, but Tor has been out himself in FLM cars before now, and I have to say, when I saw the name and, you know, a pedigree I didn't recognise, wouldn't say I ever wrote him off, but certainly didn't expect him to be quite as quick as saw him, but I think that's going to be a pretty convincing lineup as well, John.
And John Martin, of course, raced for Alan Dotting Racing on Team Australia in A1GP, so two A1GP refugees there. And as you say, it's a package that there's data for. People ran that last year. The other Nissan engines, well, they are turning up in the back of other chassis. Let's take the Singleton first of all, jumping around a bit on the entry list here, the number 41 Greaves Motorsport. Well, they know all about how to run a car. Had a fantastic season last year. It's Christian Zugel, Ricardo Gonzalez and Elton Julian in that car. Elton Julian still having the benefit of not being a top rated driver, of course, a former British Formula 3 driver, but has been away from the sport for a long time. Those three, I think I'm right in saying, have all done Le Mans Prototype Challenge to either together or in some form shape or form between the three of them. They've all been in the same car at least once, if you see what I mean. Zytec chassis though for Greaves this year, not unknown to them, the Z11SN Nissan. And well, I mean, this is a new car. This is not the old lady that they've run in the past.
No, they still retain the car that won the Le Mans LMP2 title and won the Le Mans Series title from last year. That's now their test and development car, but the team have obtained two new 2012 Zytec chassis to go with the Nissan engine. They are backed by Nissan in the Le Mans Series with their other car. It's a customer car here, very much a customer effort here, but they're going to be strong, John. You know, the guys down at Repton have, I'm sure, worked their magic once again in terms of you know, the tweaks that were required to keep this car you know, on the pace this year. That trio, well, Elton Julian, Ricardo Gonzalez, and Christian Zugel. Of the three, if there is a weak link, it's going to be Christian Zugel, but certainly the less quick of the three, and believe it's possible that we might see some driver change.
Yeah, I agree.
In the latter part of the season with Christian, I'm not sure, being available for all the races. But Elton Julian is still, you know, very much a bit of an old war horse, Elton, and still, you know, I think he's still certainly got the sap still rising there in terms of sports car racing success. And Ricardo Gonzalez is one of those guys that in the American Le Mans Series, where LMPC was seen initially as being, well, a bit of a grid filler, and then all of a sudden, you know, we get beyond year one and teams beginning to see that there's prospects there of getting some real racing there. And for me, the revelation was Sebring last year, where LMP2 was basically in its kind of in its infancy of the classes we see it today. And to be blunt, the LMPC guys embarrassed the class.
Yeah.
There, out-qualified them, and it was the likes of Ricardo Gonzalez that were the revelation, because what you've got there is a guy bringing budgets that actually has not got a great deal to give away in terms of track pace against very many of the pros that you're going to see in that class. So,
well, when you consider in PC, he was battling with people like Gulla Jeanette and, you know, half and quarter and, you know, fractions of a tenth.
And Gunnar Jeanette, let's not forget, was a factory LMP1 driver not that long ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a very quick young man indeed still, Gunnar. So that's a huge credit to Ricardo. You know, I'm sure, I know Greaves are actually delighted to have him aboard the car. An interesting lineup, an interesting team, a team that's on the up and is clearly looking to actually build their own kind of history here. And they're doing that with a multifaceted program, two cars, two championships and two cars at Le Mans. I think they're going to be a team to watch this year in the future.
The final two of the iMake, it's six Nissan engines in the P2 category, are in a different chassis, another different chassis, the third different chassis for the Nissan engine. This is the Lola, the new B1280. Two of 28 and 29 are the Gulf Racing Middle East Racing Team, Fabien Giroir and Frederic Fatien. Well, those two guys have been racing together in some way, shape or form, using the Gulf Racing Middle East name or something like it, for quite some time. But this is a step up for the whole organisation here.
It is a big step up, John. This the Gulf Racing Middle East brand, listeners will be familiar with from the team that actually ran an Aston Martin Vantage in the ILMC last year. There's been a bit of a parting of the ways with that team. You won't see the names of Roel Goethe or Mike Wainwright in that team. That's because they're taking their brand of golf racing to the Blancpain Endurance Series with a pair of McLarens. There's been, a bit of a falling out. Neither is this team involving the backroom boys led by Dave Price in the WEC. That Dave goes with the His Happy Band with the Blancpain effort. This is the team that runs the cars out of Dubai. They ran, John, I know in our kind of coverage for the Dubai 24 Hours, a pair of Lamborghini Gallardos. We've not seen the full driver lineups for this team. What we are told is that Fabien Geroir will be in one car and Frédéric Fatier, previously very much a backroom boy in this team, will be in the other. And the we wait and see, I think, with this team. They've got a lot to prove. It's a big step up for them. We absolutely do wish them well. The little Lola is a gorgeous looking car.
Yep.
The Nissan V8, we know, can actually bring home the bacon. It's, I think, the first time we've seen a Nissan V8 in a Lola.
In current regulations.
Absolutely.
You'd have to go back to 89 and 90.
Absolutely.
When the fantastic Nissan's engines were in the back of Lolas.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting program. They have got a stretch to get this thing up to speed as quickly as I think they'd hope.
I do think, though, that that's interesting because, and we'll talk about the other Lola team in a moment, that kind of follows on. This new B1280, I've seen the cars in build. They have been delayed slightly. They are 2012 spec cars, i.e. they do have the fins and the horrible big holes in the top of the wheel arches. However, and those of you who've listened to my day out at Lola recently will know this, because Julian Sol told us, they did find something. When they were re-engineering those cars, they found something and decided to take a little more time in the wind tunnel to just fully exploit, for want of a better phrase or saying, what they had found when they made the changes. And I think that's going to be a really impressive package, regardless of what engine it has. And we know the Nissan is good, and I'm not saying anything other, Graham, but I think that that Lola, the new Lola, whatever engine it's got in the back, whoever's running it in whatever championship, I think those will be interesting cars once they're on stream and running. It's evolution rather than revolution with that car. We've said that plenty of times before. A lot of the data, particularly on suspension setup, will be transferable. And don't forget, Lola have got their own shaker rig now as well. However, the aero, I think, will look distinctively different, and does look distinctively different. Have a look at some of the pictures that are around now. Now, the other Lola chassis in the WEC is the Lotus engined car. This is entered by Lotus. It's not engineered by Lotus, we should say that. This is the name of the team, in the same way as Gulf Racing Middle East, or ADR, is the name of the team. This is a Lola P12 with a Lotus engine, which is effectively a rebranded Judd, but they must have put some money into it to allow the John's Judd to change it from being a BMW Judd to a Lotus. Thomas Holzer, Mirko Schulstis and Luca Moro in this. This is a bit of an unknown quantity as to what these guys and how these guys are going to perform. I have no doubt that there's enough driving talent in there, but what's the genesis of the team, Graham?
Marketing, I think it's fair to say. And it's not marketing that's coming from Lotus. I think, I'll be blunt here, the name behind this team is Colin Collis, although it's not entered in his name. It's entered in the name of his father, Romulus Collis. I'm not going to be dismissive about this. It's perfectly legitimate to do it this way. But the Lotus branding on that car around this team, I don't think there's much, if any, Lotus financial input into this team. It is a purely commercial effort. Clearly, it's keeping the Lotus kind of name alive in sports car racing. For that, we can be grateful. And clearly, we're expecting to see the same from Rebellion in P1 for different reasons. You've got a Lotus badged team. You've got a Lotus badged engine. The car we've seen in testing Has got Lotus branding all over it, but oddly enough, not a Lola badge on the front at the moment, which is rather odd, because certainly it is a Lola chassis. And as for the three drivers, well, Thomas Holzer has done, a bit of GT3 rating in ADAC GT Masters and done pretty well there, but is probably better known for his single-seater career so far. Mirko Schulstis is the reigning Le Mans Series Formula Le Mans champion with Pegasus Racing from last year, and has moved up to LMP2 now. This is the guy that brings the rather garish yellow Dress for Less sponsorship to his cars. And the third driver, Luca Moro, again, he's got some background in sports car racing, and in particular another guy who's come up through LMPC. How often have we said that during this programme so far, John? And I'm sure we'll say it again, that's actually appears to be a plan that's working for the ACO to bring drivers through and up through the ranks to where they'd like them to be in more serious sports car racing machinery.
Now, this is effectively a happy band, as you say. It's the Collis name. The actual name of the company is Kodewa, K-O-D-E-W-A, isn't it? It's a German classic sports car firm, and sports and racing cars. That is that's the genesis of the team, as you say. Colin Collis is in behind it. I think it's interesting. I'm not sure. We've seen before Colin's sort of subcontracted often his race teams out to various people. He's obviously very busy doing other forms of racing. It'll be interesting to see what turns up with that.
What we should say, John, actually, before we go any further, is one thing it most certainly is an achingly pretty car.
Oh, yeah.
In that colour scheme. That colour scheme very much suits the lines of the Lola. And I think on that basis, if for no other reason, even if these guys have a mare, I think it's going to have a fan base because the car looks fantastic.
You're listening to a special as we preview the season of the WEC. John Heindorf and Graham Goodwin of DailySportsCar.com talking there about the Lotus-engined Lola. Well, that engine, as I mentioned, has its roots firmly in John's Judd and BMW, and therefore it has a connection with the Oak Racing number 24, which is a Judd engine on a chassis that's branded a Morgan.
Yes, another branding exercise.
Another branding exercise.
I tell you what, if you were to wake up from a deep sleep or stasis or something and see the names on the cars this year with Lotus and with Morgan, you'd think there'd been a huge resurgence, wouldn't you, in the British sports car industry?
Well, there's more badge engineering going on in the World Endurance Championship than there was at British Leyland in the 1970s.
but it's worth remembering why we've actually got this badge engineering going on, particularly with Morgan. We came very close indeed at various points last year to a Morgan LMP1 efforts, even in 2011 and into 2012, and the name was certainly linked with the possible link with Zytec at that point. It's not gone that way. It's gone to the Oak Racing Pescarolo chassis instead. It's a proud year actually for Morgan. Not only is the company actually doing pretty well on the road car side, but it's their 50th anniversary of a class win, 1962 class win in the 2 litre class for the dear departed Chris Lawrence. We lost last year, Chris, who won the race, won the class at Le Mans in that car, and it's rather a shame we won't be seeing him back to take the plaudits for the 50th anniversary of that class win. But the Morgan name will be back. Of course, they have raced since in the GT classes, but this, I think, very much their first prototype entry, albeit in badge alone. But if you're going to go with a proud sporting brand, go with a proud sporting team, and Oak Racing certainly fill that kind of categorisation very well. Agreed. Indeed, John, don't they?
Interesting choice that Olivier Pla, who's perhaps the fastest, you could argue, of the Oak Racing drivers. Mathieu Lahaye is no slouch either, loves qualifying, loves driving in the dark. Jacques Nicolet, very much the gentleman driver of those three. Remember, in LMP2, and we haven't mentioned this so far, you do have to have a non-professional driver. All the drivers are colour-coded, gold, silver, platinum, bronze, etc. And you have to have a non-professional driver in the P2 cars, which you don't in P1. I think it's interesting that Pla has ended up in here. This is very much, I think, a shot for the championship. And the last car that we'll talk about, I would say the same thing too.
I think that's right, John. It's the other thing it's there to do. It's there to win. It's there to show off what this car can do, because very much Jacques Nicolet made very clear, particularly at Petit Le Mans last year, that the game plan for the Oak Racing Pescarolo chassis building business is to get very much more serious on a customer front.
Right.
And clearly what they want to do here is to show off what their package can do against the Orica, against the Loader, and against the HPD. I know we're going to be talking about in just a little while. So that's, I think, why you've got the talent you've got in that car with Mathieu and with Olivier, you know, both of whom were as quick as anybody in this particular field, with the possible exception of a man we're going to be talking about in just a few minutes' time.
Before we do that, last year's P2 competition was blighted by the balance of performance with engines, with grandfathered cars, with non-grandfathered cars, with restrictors. Is that all over and done with this year, or are we going to have the same IS but conversations?
Well, I don't think it's going to be to the same degree. I think inevitably when you bring you know, various solutions to a kind of cost cap formula, someone's going to have got their sums more right than others. And you know, there was lots of kind of degree of, how can we put this, bitching and moaning, I think I'll go for, last year. Some of which was, I think, perfectly justified at the start of the season, where the HPD teams have been ludicrously over-restricted. You know, the damn thing...
There are no HPD engine cars in P2 this year in the World Championships.
There is one HPD engine car.
Oh, yes, of course. We're going to talk about it in a second.
Yes, we are. Yeah, but, you know, I think HPD have gone back to the drawing board and will be coming back with a more convincing package, but they've actually also, I think, won that debate with the ACO and have got a rather better break... against that. I'd expect that we're going to see the Judd BMW closer. If you talk to some of the Nissan teams, they will tell you that actually that engine is the more powerful. They will tell you that it's actually got more torque than the Nissan. You know, what they've not had at the moment are the results, and I think it's great to see that they're coming back to it. It's got its fans in the paddock.
That's a normally aspirated engine, isn't it, the Judd?
Yes, yeah,
as is the Nissan.
As is the Nissan, and then you've got the HPD, which I think is a twin turbo, isn't it?
It is a now is it a twin or a single? It's a two, it's basically the 2.8 V6 road car engine, which is turbocharged. So that is the only turbocharged engine effectively in that category now.
Absolutely, and and you know that again, it's again one of the things we like, isn't it? That
variety.
Variety. The big problem I think in very much many areas of racing is that regulation has impacted to such a degree, and CAD has impacted to such a degree. It's, let's face it, if you put the same parameters into what is very much the same computer system, you're going to get the same answer. And the beauty of actually the racing that we cover here, and you know, sports car racing in particular, is there are options and very radically different options in terms of the chassis. You've got open top cars, you've got coupe cars, and then you've got, you know, certainly the WEC this year, three different engine choices, and all three of those choices at the moment are in play. And and I think that's great. It just gives us something more to actually look into as a variable. You know, as to whether or not that's a factor, whether or not we're talking about the drivers, the capability of the cars, the capability of the engines, the systems, the teams themselves, and let's not forget the contribution that they make as well. It makes it, I think, flow along. And what it's done, I think, John, is to draw in more talent and more teams, you know, into sports car racing in the last 12 months. And I think we're about to talk about one of those teams that stepped up right now.
Yeah, and... this to me was one of the more interesting entries. It was a fabulously well kept secret from Peter Barron and Starworks Motorsport. Peter's been around the sport for a very long time. He's got himself an HPD P2 car. This is designated an ARX-03B with the HPD Honda turbocharged engine. Enzo Portaliccio, who has been driving with Starworks in a variety of different formula, we've seen him as well in places like Bahrain. Ryan DL, no stranger to sports cars himself, but here's the big shock, and what a signing this was, Stefan Sarrazin in that car. And for me, one of the reasons I asked about the turbo equivalency, Graham, is if that is right and that is on a level playing field, I've got to say, knowing Peter's organisation and seeing the people that I saw at his factory when I was down there late in January, early in February, I think they're a championship contender.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, you know, Starworks, let's not make any bones about it. that they've not been racing in areas of racing that they've been particularly well covered, frankly, at this stage by either Daily Sports Car or indeed I think by you guys either. But we saw what they could do at Daytona this year. Mm-hmm. We've been watching from afar what they've been doing in Daytona prototypes for the last couple of seasons. There are people around that team that have got a lot of heritage and a lot of success.
Ex-champion Audi people there, mate.
They most certainly are. Mm. Happily, they're also a team. Not only are they very good on track, they're very good at off track as well. And regular Le Mans goers might remember Peter Barron as the man that brought the T-shirt catapults to the grid at Le Mans with the BAM Racing team some little while ago. And we promise that that's going to make an outing again in the WEC. Very much kind of fan-based kind of effort in terms of the way that they go racing. But that driver lineup, Lorenzo Portaluccio, he's clearly the kind of the bronze-rated driver here. He's the man that in effect is the amateur driver. But you know what? There's another one that he's to rob you of your parlance, John. He's the sportsman here.
Yeah.
And he's going to have nothing to be embarrassed about in terms of his pace in the company he's going to be keeping. I think he's going to be a great foil for the two full pros. Ryan Diehl, a man who's been spending most of his time actually racing in the United States, he'll be delighted to be getting his opportunity to actually spread his wings on other continents and come back and show the home audience, if you like, in the UK at Silverstone what he can do, and he'd be delighted to be at Le Mans. I'm absolutely certain of that.
Great.
Stefan Sarrazin, if you were to draw any list of the top three sports car drivers on the planet at the moment, frankly Sarrazin would have to be on that list. And you know, clearly he's only in the P2 car because of the unfortunate happenings at Peugeot Sports, but one, I'm delighted he's actually found a place in the World Championship. He deserves it, certainly. What we're seeing at the moment is a number of opportunities being taken up by the ex-Peugeot guys in all sorts of machinery and all sorts of championships. They must be about the most hated people in the driver market at the moment, it's got to be said. I mean, I can count, I think, six seats at the moment, which we know are in the possession either at Le Mans, in the European Le Mans Series, and the WEC, which have gone to ex-Peugeot drivers. And Stefan Sarrazin, I have to say, he's a very class act indeed.
Yeah, I think
is an epic signing for Peter Barron.
Yeah, I think that's a great signing for Peter. I'll ask you for some very quick predictions in a moment. Just a quick point to make that everybody in P2 in the World Endurance Championship are running Dunlops. We're told that everyone will get the same Dunlops, not because it's a spec tyre series, but just that's the way it's turned out this year. Certainly the team principals I've spoken to have said they hope that everyone will get the same custom attire and that there isn't effectively a factory team. That's not the case quite in P1. I think it's Oak that's on Dunlop and everyone else are on Michelin. So Graham, eight cars in P2, again that has shown variety, different ways of doing it with different blends of experience and speed driver wise as well as the teams. Who wins it?
It's this one, you know, John, and you kind of see these entry lists actually appearing and you kind of make a knee-jerk reaction as to where it's going to be strong, and then you look again as a couple of the kind of TBAs are filled, and you know, with the benefit of a bit of hindsight, and it's a terrifically difficult one to call. I think you're right. I think it's all going to be about whether or not they've got it right in terms of how these cars kind of balance out. Mm. I'll say this much. I think Starworks will surprise a lot of people out there. I think they're going to race very well indeed. I think the ADR Delta team looks a very convincing lineup. I hope that the Oak Morgan Judd can actually show well as well, and the Signatec Nissan has got to be there in the mix. For me though, I think there's two cars that stand out from that lineup for me. Signatec, because they know how to race them. They've got, I think, a strong driver lineup, and it's going to be a matter of what Jordan Tresson can bring to the party, and Starworks. And I think I'd go at Starworks for this one. I have to tell you, if the HBD produces the ponies, I think they can produce some results.
Well, I'm going to just add into that, Pico, because Sayel Ayari's got the experience with that car, with that
that exact car, I think, was one of the cars he drove last year. Pierre Caffa and Luis Perez Compact, they always hold their end up, and they clearly, as we know, in the past have been an offshoot of EF Corsa, and well, they know how to run cars, don't they? I think it's going to be very interesting. It's the WEC World Endurance Championship LMP2 category. Graham, thanks for joining us, and don't forget to listen out for our other previews of the other classes in the FIA World Endurance Championship.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, go to www.radiolemon.com.